Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live from the sunny slave capital of Auckland, New Zealand, brought to you in proud partnership with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Now, I'd like to thank everybody who's involved with the show. First of all, we've had a couple of feedback from listeners, and if you go to the listener feedback page at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about there. Apparently, some people have been spreading the show around to their friends and things like that, and among other shows and other activists, and apparently, it's actually waking a few people up out there. So that's pretty awesome, I think. And, you know, it couldn't happen without the listeners actually participating in the show. You know, that's basically it. The show can't exist without the listenership. It's about all of us in here together, you know. And we've got a big team here. And when I say big team, I don't mean we're literally big, but they're all like people with like big hearts and stuff. You know, obviously there's my fabulous co-host Will, who's the source of doom and gloom that balances out this show. Hey, Will.
Thanks, Vinny. and we're no midgets either on this show, I have to say. When you say we're not that big.
Yeah. we've also got our fabulous associate producer Chris, who's taken over the responsibilities, gratefully, of posting articles to GorillaMedia.co.nz. And you know, freaking heck, man! I'm now only going to Guerrilla Media all the time because there's just so much awesome news there. And so I'd like to thank him very much for that. We've also had a few donations coming in from listeners, and they are so very greatly appreciated, because at the moment we're kind of doing it for the love and all of that kind of jazz, and you know, we feel extremely appreciated when people were actually willing to give us something, you know, because we're kind of giving it all out and that kind of thing. We don't expect anything back, but it's always nice to receive something, you know.
And I mean, people might wonder why we bleat about the banking system, hey? It's because our bank accounts are pretty – they've got plenty of zeros.
Yeah.
It's called one big fat one.
You know, and maybe we should just get haircuts and get a job. Well,
yeah, my hair's pretty short right now, but, I mean, maybe next month.
Maybe we need to get shaved heads and orange jumpsuits, you know. Go to the local New Zealand FEMA camp. That'll be fantastic.
Striped pajamas.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. With a barcode mohawk on the head.
I prefer it on the neck, you know.
Well, those neck barcodes are pretty fashionable, I've got to give it. And also after the break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be bringing on our somewhat fabulous producer, Monsieur Mitch Santel, who is going to enjoy a little chat with us about the state of the union. And when I say the state of the union, I mean the union of the truth movement itself. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages.
I got some so-called friends, smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you?
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in partnership with GorillaMedia.co.nz. And also a big shout out to our fabulous listeners and also our marvelous, marvelous, marvelous station workers down there at Rush 89 FM in Hamilton, the Tron, the city of the future, the city of Agenda 21. Welcome to. And we've also got our somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch Santel, on the line here. Welcome back to the program, buddy.
Hey, it's so great to be back on, Vinny. Now, I heard a rumor that New Zealand has a very high suicide rate. Is that true?
Yep. It's the highest suicide rate in the world, as far as I know. Or is it the highest youth suicide?
Youth suicide rate.
Yeah. Specifically, yeah. Because, you know, when you're young in New Zealand, it sucks.
Actually, I have a theory on that.
Oh, yes?
My theory is this. Every time you move house, and hello, ladies and gentlemen, we are not the New World Order on the Vinnie Eastwood show with Will. We're the Next World Order, okay? And that means we all have sovereign rights. The reason that the suicide rate is so freaking high in New Zealand, and this is what keeps happening to my family, which is why my hair keeps getting gray, is every time we move house, I'm off the internet for 10 to 12 days.
Yeah, I know. And it's not like a vacation or something like that, like you're away from your laptop for a weekend in the Bahamas or something. It's just like you're sitting at home and you can't work because you can't, there's no internet.
I mean, I placed my order on the 12th of this month. They told me they couldn't turn it on till the 21st, and they only turned it on yesterday. Because they turned it on and there was a problem with the ports at the house. But, you know, we just don't want to service you too fast. We just want you to get as depressed as possible.
Oh, don't you just love that third world internet? Now, seriously, man, we are so out of the play here, man. We have people coming from overseas and things like that. And I talk to people in clubs, stuff like that, tell them what broadband is here. And they snicker and they laugh. And New Zealand broadband is like 1 megabyte a second. And in Australia, it's like 100 megabytes a second. It's like ridiculously slow here, man. We are so friggin' behind the times. And conveniently enough, of course, I used to work in the telecommunications industry, and I can tell you assuredly that there is a heck of a lot of bad stuff that goes on, bad blood between telcos here, man, because we've got this big monopolistic former state-owned enterprise which got sold out by the World Bank, incidentally. and now everybody who wants to like get their landlines or internet activated or something like that, they mess with them just to scare people into stopping, you know, from going to other providers. It's just so corrupt, bro. And there's been like hundreds and hundreds of lawsuits that I've heard about just when I was working for a year or two for one company against these major providers for corrupt practices, and they all settle out of court.
How about this? I left my last ISP without paying them the last bill because they missed me around so much.
Shot butter. And,
thank you, Telstra Clear.
I'm not paying you, Telstra Clear. You're not supposed to mention the actual names of the companies, you know, like, I don't know.
I'm so scared. Vodafone,
Oricon, Telecom.
There's a particular lady in Hamilton that wants to take me to court now for mentioning her name on the show, apparently. But we didn't mention your full name, sucker, so get it right next time, okay?
Are you kidding? Helen Clark is suing you, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, for saying her name on the air?
No.
We wish.
A little demon lookalike in Hamilton. Probably lesbian too. No, I'm joking. But seriously, I've got a theory for the youth suicide rates, and it's, I can't speak from experience, Mitch, because I don't have children, and you do, so you probably know better. But I'm a child at heart. I'm a 26-year-old teenager, I suppose. And I think it's because everyone's just bored these days. Regardless of where you go in the world, youth are bored. I'm bored. There's nothing to do. There's nothing. I shouldn't be out learning about history. I shouldn't be studying. I shouldn't be out enjoying nature. I'm bored. There's no cinemas to go to. There's no this and that. And that's why there's, I think that's the void that causes a youth in this country to fall into depression and then maybe suicide, is because we don't have as much youth services in this country. We don't have drop-in centers, youth centres, sort of arts and culture centers the way they do in Europe.
Mm.
And well, so I think people are just bored and they're twiddling their thumbs and still listening to Britney Spears and watching all the depravic nonsense.
I would say it's far more specific. I think that the fatherless society that we kind of have in this country is very, very largely to blame. A statistic that I read one time was that if you don't have a father figure for all or part of your growing up kind of experience, you are 80% more likely to develop a drug addiction.
But do you think that increased level of breakup rates is unique to New Zealand?
Oh, absolutely not.
No, it's worldwide. I mean,
so
it happens.
What defines New Zealand and suicide rates is what I'm trying to...
Well, what I find interesting is we try to find definitions, whereas I think that everything's kind of cumulative, you know. There's never one catch-all sort of instance that's going on here. It's always a range of different factors all trundling along in the background, right? Mm. And I suppose that's the frustration of trying to define society, is that by definition, society can't be defined.
I think you're right, though, Vinny. It comes down to the breakup of the family unit and, of course, all the financial pressures that these bankers put on us contribute to that, largely. How many arguments in households derive from financial woes? I mean, I can put my hand up.
I would probably say the majority of arguments in households are due to financial woes. Huh? But even if you haven't got, even if you don't have any financial woes, right? Then of course the other factor, which I find very, very interesting in modern society, is people don't necessarily care about each other that much anymore. Like they don't care enough to ask questions or to talk to each other. Like when you come home, you sit down, you blob out in front of the TV, you zone out in beta wave patterns, and you never pay attention to anybody else around you. You don't ask them any questions or talk about nothing.
I always tell people a very simple thing. Turn off your television. If you can do it for 21 days, your life will never be the same.
Yep. Turn off TV for 40 days and 40 nights.
Exactly. But really, when you start talking about the breakdown of the family, not only is it financial, not only do marriages break up over money, but it's like a cultural thing. It's like... And I don't know if either of you have experienced this. You know, my wife and I, we've been together 25 years. My parents were married for 48 years, okay? And people in this culture today, it's all about hooking up in one-night stands. I'm sorry to say that. And it's all about if they don't like the relationship, it's kind of like a pair of jeans or a wristwatch. They just change it.
Yeah, it's like I said the other day on the show that my girlfriend saw a billboard advertising for married couples dating, right? Like encouraging people to cheat. I think it was like cheatmeister.com or something like that. It's just like, what the heck, man? Isn't our society getting so depravic? And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, if you look at television, for example, television shows, how many stable relationship archetypes do you see in television shows? None. They're all dysfunctional, aren't they? Every single talk show, every single sitcom, every single daytime TV show, every single soap opera, none of them have any stable family relationships in them. So where is anybody coming in to have an example of something to follow? And this is what I find interesting about television shows like Super Nanny and what's it called? That one where they build the massive houses for these poor families who like serve their communities and things like that. These are kind of like a rarity where they actually teach people how to be good families, because I feel that on the whole, that sort of basic principle of having a stable family unit has been lost on us, all of us. It's almost disappeared.
That's a threat to the government.
Yeah.
I mean, the government is threatened by independent people, the middle class largely, and people who can think for themselves and have their own sort of financial and, you know, have their own setup, their own independence, effectively. If you're growing your own food, that's why they passed S510. I mean, if you're growing your own food and you've got your own water supply and you've got your own family and you're happy and you're making something here, I mean, you've got something they don't want you to have. You've got their property as they see it.
I was talking to Bomber Bradbury, I think it was a while ago, and he'd done a little thing with, what was it, he looked back at, for example, peasant societies back in the Middle Ages to see how much free time they had and how happy they were and things like that relative to today, and they had more time off as a literal peasant serf and more happiness than we do today. What does that say about the kind of gilded cage phenomenon that we've got in this society?
And even that's relativism, but I agree. I mean, they worked back in medieval Britain, they would work about 4 days a week, and those days would be shorter days on average. And they would also be fed the same food in some circumstances as the, you know, as the great pontiffs, the great Knight Commissioner, Chancellor, Mason, Head Monkeys. I mean, and the French take Wednesday afternoons off still as a sort of carryover from that.
Well, you know,
liberals.
And people call this like societal evolution. It's like, man, I don't believe in evolution. I believe in devolution. And
precisely, oh, it's evolution, right?
You know, and I have no contrary evidence to my beliefs, you know.
That's the thing, Vinny. You know how people call it societies evolving? The elite call it social Darwinism. You know, and it's funny the crossover there, Darwinism, evolution, societies evolving, but no, really, it's social Darwinism. They're making us a big bunch of pack of idiots, and then saying, "Oh, look, we have to kill them to it justifies their ends."
Yeah. And that's what I find interesting. Like we've had how we've got our wonderful listener in Tunisia, Ahmed, and he's he's great, man. He's hardcore Muslim. He's full on fundamentalist. We love him. Like we were talking about how our government's corrupt and all of that, and he's like, "You should burn the police stations, burn them." And it's
we don't advocate that, sir, in the show.
No, we don't. But I just thought it was real funny. You know, that's what we do. We burn the police station to the ground. It's like, oh yeah, man.
You take the teacher. You kick them out of school. You take the prime minister and you kick him out the country.
Yeah. And you burn down parliament. And it was just like, yeah, man. Well, parliament will probably get burned down after they sell out all the power companies, and then people can't afford to keep their houses warm, so they'll have to burn down parliament and huddle around it like a bunch of hobos to keep their hands warm. You know,
a few good men are always going to have to stand up. But if we want a true renaissance and something that actually lasts in this country and in this world, if you want to take this country back, we've got to have hearts and minds. We've got to have people understand why the bankers are bad, not just go, they're bad, we're going to burn them now. And, you know, we've got to have people understand it. If we don't understand it, then after another generation, it's just going to go back to this point.
You know what reminds me of, Will? It's like when you called on to a national New Zealand talk show, right? And you explain what fractional reserve banking is. And the guy sits there, Vinny, with Will on the air live all over New Zealand saying, oh, that's a really interesting argument. Interesting argument? This is the truth. This is the facts of how fractional banking works. Well, no, it doesn't actually work that way. It's just an argument.
No, I want to beat him over the head with my keyboard here. but what can you do, you know? What can you do?
But we don't advocate violence on the show.
No, we don't.
Well, the keyboard's a peaceful option.
Yes.
I'll tell you one thing that's really been on my mind.
We'll hit him with the F key.
That's really been on my mind, guys, is I had a very hard time sleeping last night, and I had one of our listeners send me a link to what's going on in Egypt. And I think we really need to have, as part of this dialogue today, I really think the time has come for the truther movement, the people that know what's actually coming down, to really be loving and kind to each other and stop name-calling each other and really, really begin to come together. Because I'm telling you, time is short. Because if you watched any of the live footage of Al Jazeera, man, the government promises all this stuff, just like America, and then what do? They give the average person nothing. They give them nothing, nothing. So finally, after 30 years of one guy being in office, they've had enough. They've taken to the streets. They had a curfew that came on last night, and the whole population said, no, we're not going home. We're not going anywhere. We want our country back. So I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a regular listener to this show, whether you follow the Zeitgeist movement, whether you're a member of We Are Change, it doesn't matter what group you belong to, the truth is the truth. If they're putting fluoride in your water, they're chemtrailing the air, CPS is taking your kids, forget the labels. They don't mean anything anymore. We've got to come together and be like-minded, because wouldn't you say, Vinny, we come together on the points we agree?
Yeah.
But we don't agree on much sometimes. I mean, the Zeitgeist movement can't even agree that fluoride's bad for us. I mean, this is the worry.
But if you've ever listened to Freeman, by the way, Freeman, if you ever listen to this show, you're invited to come on as the somewhat fabulous executive producer of the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. Freeman can come on this show anytime.
Hey, well, and that's the thing, we were talking about that the other day, that we want to have lots of different radio show hosts come on as guests on the show, because, you know, the truth of movement seems kind of disparate. And, you know, I received some feedback from one of our listeners, and she says that she's kind of sort of alone right now, because she talks about this kind of stuff, the subject matter that we do on this show, constantly with everybody. And she says that mostly the people that she's in contact with are people that she's never met, who are just kind of meeting her for the first time and talking about things together, and she's starting to lose touch with the people around her. And this is the difficulty with being part of the conspiracy movement, or whatever you want to call it, is that we have to really figure out what the human condition really requires of us. And we're social creatures by our very nature, and we have to be able to communicate and live together, work together, and value one another.
If you stop
valuing what it is to be human, and you only value, for example, this type of information or one other type of information or something like that, you're basically losing touch with humanity.
No, but, you know? the thing is, though, that's a good point. But the thing is that this information runs so deep that it is what it is to be in touch with humanity. You know what I mean? Like, if people really don't care what's going into their food and water, then they're the ones that are inhuman.
I think you're right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, our very fabulous, somewhat fabulous executive producer, Mitch Santel, joins us for the duration of this hour, and we'll be right back after Jimi Hendrix has finished playing. Mellow as a marsh. It was a marshmallow. They call me Mellow Yellow. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Interesting message to report. The amount of Kiwi listeners that we have visiting the Vinny Eastwood Show.com has now surpassed our American visitors to the website, which is very, very interesting. Our very special guest is our somewhat fabulous producer, Mr. Mitch Santel. Mitch, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Vinny. You know, we went to break and we were talking about the truth movement, and I got to tell you, there is so much infiltration, ladies and gentlemen, into the truth movement by major investors who put money into various products, films, radio shows. They're not putting money in this one, I'll tell you that much, but people that are very committed to just getting out disinformation. And I will publicly say for the record right now that if I hear one more interview on Project Camelot and hear about the fourth dimension and the Anunnaki and the reptilians who are running Washington, D.C., I'm going to move my house so I can have another 27 days of no internet.
Well, look, I mean, the way I look at it is, I just don't listen to the stuff I don't want to listen to now. And I know that sounds kind of bigoted and like I'm narrowing my perspective, but people can have their views on aliens and the fifth dimension and the reptilians who run the New World Order. I mean, they can have their ideas on that. They might be right. I don't really care who's running it, whether it's Reptiles or John Key. It doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the fact they're interfering with our lives.
Oh, hold on a second. What's the difference between a Reptile and John Key again?
His blood temp's a bit warmer.
He's a bit slimier, I think, you know.
No, do you know?
Hey, well, speaking of which, I did a Zeitgeist video, and one of the things that I pointed out was the peak oil fraud. I had this comment on my YouTube video: it doesn't matter if we have abiotic oil or not, we are polluting the planet and are still a violent world. And it's just like, well, bro, you're totally missing the point. The oil companies purposely pollute the environment. I mean, watch the movie The Corporation. All right, and they also conceal efficient energy technologies from the public. Okay, the only reason why cars actually, for example, pollute is because 80% of the petrol that goes through the engine comes out the exhaust as unburned hydrocarbons. That's the source of the pollution. There's a guy named Cameron Pogue in the 40s created a vaporizing carburetor that got 200 miles a gallon and near zero fumes coming out of the tailpipe. All right, let's get decent technology released. And this is the difficulty with dealing with the people who have such a small perspective. And I think that I don't want to insult the Zeitgeist crowd here because, they're good people, relatively open minds. But the difficulty I have is that if you have a relatively isolated and small, narrow vision of the truth movement in general, and I don't think Zeitgeists consider themselves part of the truth movement or whatever, but they certainly want some description of change. But because they don't widen their horizons and learn everything that there is to learn, you wind up kind of, charging off in the wrong direction sometimes, Sitting down, listening, and actually thinking about what the best course of action is, I think is far more effective than simply having a single idea and then charging towards it come hell or high water.
I mean, I agree, Vinny, and I'm not going to call them a cult because in the same way mainstream media would say I'm a cult member or I've got cultish views or whatever, and I don't even like the term truther. I think it's cliched and overdone and lays it on too thick and scares other people away. But now I'm just someone who likes freedom and someone who thinks that we should run our lives to the extent that we best know how. And if having PCBs and estrogen mimicking plastics in our food and packaging and fluoride in our water isn't the smartest way we can run society, then we shouldn't be doing it because we know it's wrong and we should move on from that. And I'm just sick of all these shills out there in the media and politics and then all their little dupe idiots in the public who follow them keeping my life down. They're pulling me down and they're pulling everyone else down and they're pulling themselves down and they're hurting themselves and their own children and families.
And the weird thing is there's this agenda that I see in New Zealand and it's going on in the United States. They pass all the things regarding the super city, right? They tell you, Will, it's not the proper venue, keep your mouth shut. They pass it anyway, and within a month of them passing the super city, now John Keyes publicly announces in the New Zealand Herald he wants to sell off Genesis Energy and this energy and that energy company. He wants to sell off $300 million of New Zealand assets to foreign corporations.
And we can't talk about it. We can't talk about this without being seen as arrogant or, self-absorbed or just holier than thou. Now, I had a conversation with a woman yesterday who's about 10 years older than myself, and we're just sitting down. I was with another friend, and she introduced me to this lady, and she was a very smart woman. She knew this, that, and the other. But straight away, she's judged me and said, well, you think you know it all, don't you? You just know it all, yada, yada, yada.
And it's like, bro.
She asked for it.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean, Will, because like you talk about things and you talk about facts and figures and stuff like that, and they think, oh, well, you know it all, don't you? And they go, no, I don't know it all. In fact, I believe that I know bugger all. Just because I know more than you doesn't mean I know everything. In fact, even if I just knew more than you, I'd still know bugger all.
we're just trying to know something. We're just trying to do something good. That's all. We're just trying.
Yeah.
We're just trying. And because you try, people hate you.
And here's the problem. When you have a movement, whether it's the Zeitgeist movement or the We Are Change movement or anyone who they call a truther, you know what I'm saying? There's so many trolls that have infiltrated it. Now, without picking on anyone specifically, okay, I'm going to read you one paragraph from someone who is a hardcore Zeitgeist follower, okay? And this is someone that I love in the Zeitgeist movement. There's someone that believes that humanity should not die. I want to read, gentlemen, one paragraph, okay? Now, he starts out talking like a regular human being. But by the end of the paragraph, I don't know what he's talking about. Are you ready?
Shoot.
Here's the paragraph. Yeah, bro, it's about surviving food, water, clothing, shelter, the basic necessities of life. If we as a species are to survive, thrive, and evolve off this planet to explore the far reaches in the universe, then we need to come together as one species beyond these illusionary boundaries and walls, money, that hold us back in our eggshells and deprive us of expressing our full uniqueness. This is why I advocate the movement and the direction of the Venus Project, because we have to move, listen to this, guys, to a holographic social structure of transparency in order for us to move in the right direction.
Holographic transparent? What?
Okay, wait a minute.
I think what he's trying to say is we need to cut down all boundaries and have total transparency of government. Is that what he's saying? Or
yeah, so let me read the rest
of it. Well, see, if that was what he was saying, that sounds fairly reasonable and around that way. Go ahead.
This is why I advocate the movement. So I'm not saying this guy's bad. I'm just reading how everything's been sort of manipulated. Do you know what I'm saying?
The thing is, how can that movement gain transparency when they won't even talk about groups that knowingly, admittedly, freaking website-ly exist right now? They won't even say the CFR exists. They won't even say the Order of the Golden Dawn exists. They won't even admit all these groups that are the reason for our lack of transparency, that are the reason for our non-holographic transparent society. They won't even name them. So how are they going to get past them is what I want to know.
Well, I know.
That's an interesting point, isn't it?
So let me read the last line. So what we are seeing is a shift from a pyramid social structure, monetary system, to holographic social structure, resource-based economy, and I may not see it happen in my lifetime, which tells me that's a kill-off, but at least I would die knowing my fellow human beings on planet Earth will survive and evolve into the future.
Well, he has good intentions, and he is,
and by the way, this guy,
person.
And this guy has great intentions, and I really have a lot of love for him, and I honor him, and I consider this person my friend. But I got to tell you something else. Everyone listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, if you get a chance today, go to www.activistcash.com. I just heard about the website. It will blow your mind. Let me tell you what the website is. It is a website that lists a lot of the truth movement, a lot of the nonprofit organizations, and lists what major multinational Fortune 500 companies are funding and infiltrating and trolling the truth movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another thing that I find interesting about the truth movement is that there are actually some people in the truth movement who are friggin' nuts, all right? And there's people in the truth movement who say things without any evidence to back it up. For example, one person messaged me saying that Zeitgeist is funded by Lucius Trust, otherwise known as Lucifer Trust, set up by Alice Bailey, you know, eugenicist, scumbag, wench, whatever. So I was just like, well, that's
the UN's publishing house.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought, well, that's very interesting. So I emailed Lucius Trust and asked them, you know, there was an accusation that you've helped to fund Zeitgeist or anything like that. And their reply was, no, we didn't fund Zeitgeist at all. And in fact, yours is the first inquiry we've received about this at all.
So we could believe Lucifer Trust or not.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. Here's the interesting thing, though. Somebody can also then say Lucifer Trust, let's call them what they are, Lucifer Trust funded Zeitgeist with zero evidence. And then Lucifer Trust can say, no, we didn't fund Zeitgeist with zero evidence. And then we don't,
the
you know,
is,
the thing
to
is,
me,
we,
to me,
I can't believe
fund.
Either of them.
To me, it wouldn't matter if we got money from David Rockefeller today. That's not going to happen. But I tell you what, if David Rockefeller called me up after the show and said, I want to give you $1 million per annum and you can still do what you want to do, I'd say, thank you, Mr. Rockefeller. I'll take your money and I'll use it against you and I'll still do what I want to do. And then he'd probably have me killed. But, I mean, the point is, it doesn't matter where people's funding – I think what matters is – what issues people are talking about. And if that's why I don't like Zeitgeist. It's not because there I can prove they're attached to occult organizations. I mean, they've got theosophics in there. They've got the World Christ, that Krishnamurti guy. I mean, I can see the overtones with my own eyes. I know what they are. I don't need proof that they're funded by them. But it's what they talk about that's the problem. It's judge people by their works.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Vinny, you turned me on to the most amazing documentary. If any of our listeners on the internet or on radio are listening to this today, go watch an amazing documentary called – is it called Human Resource, Vinny? Is that the name of it? Or Human Resources? It's a documentary. It's about 2 hours long. And the documentary starts out with the fact that human beings, by nature, are loving and kind and very affectionate. But what they discovered in manipulating the human race is that the best way to control people, ladies and gentlemen, is through fear. And why do you think these big corporations have a human resources department? And what are people afraid of if they work for a Fortune 500 company? They're not afraid of the number one thing they're afraid of is losing their job.
Oh, yeah. But what does a job matter when the entire economy is in freefall? This is how myopic they are. This is how short-sighted they are. But I'm, you know, talking about that Zeitgeist person's comment before, I mean, I don't necessarily hate them because of that comment. All I see is that there are different levels of truth. There's different levels to this onion. And I've read about astral planes and the possibility of a fifth dimension, and I believe that we are at a thin part of a dimensional realm here where there is some crossover, and that accounts for people having spiritual experiences and ghosts and all sorts of orbs and whatnot that have been documented over the centuries. But what we're doing, what some people do then, is apply that higher knowledge they have to ground-level situations, to nuts and bolts, planes, trains, and automobiles, and houses, and monetary systems. I think it's you're mixing truths up. You can't do that. I believe in higher power and higher power too, but I don't try and mix that with what the Federal Reserve should be doing. You know, and that's the problem with Zeitgeist. They're trying to mix their New Agey stuff. It's a problem with Project Camelot. They're trying to mix fifth-dimensional alien hybrids up with fluoride. And it doesn't work. There are different truths and different principles at different levels, and you have to make that distinction.
The problem with you, Will, is you're not talking about the Pleiadians and the theta gamma rays that are coming through Earth right now.
Yeah, the 57 species of alien hybrids and the deep underground bases and Phil Snyder getting attacked and losing a couple of fingers to one. And I know all this stuff. I've heard it and read it all. I'm not ignorant of it.
I love Phil Snyder. He's my brother from another terrestrial.
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, where it's all about getting off of this world. And we'll be right back, unfortunately, after the break.
The way it's going to be.
Must be some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
And welcome back.
I can't get no relief.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Our very special guest joining us here for the final segment of the first hour is our somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch Santel. Mitchie, welcome back.
Thank you very much. So now that we've been whinging for the first hour of the show on all the people in the truth movement, just know that we all love you. But also know at the same time that there is so much stuff coming down. 2011, I love what Jeff Rentz said on his show the other day. He said 2011 is going to go by in like 5 months, you know, not even 12 months. And what happens with most people is until they go to the fish and chip shop and it's closed, or until they go to the petrol shop. You know, we had an amazing meeting the other day with Bill Watson, who was involved with Sea Shepherd, and he was kind enough to share with me that in New Zealand, if there was some type of glitch, because all the petrol for BP and Shell and all the other New World Order companies, all those companies get their oil out of Singapore, and if those tankers stop, within 7 to 10 days, there will be no oil, no petrol, nothing in New Zealand. Nothing for months.
Man, that would just shut the economy down overnight, wouldn't it?
So people have got to get it together. And I'll tell you the other thing that blew my mind with this thing and these riots in Egypt. The first thing that Vodafone, Twitter, and Facebook had happened to them, I'm telling you, I'm not blaming these companies, just trying to wake these people up, mates. They shut down Vodafone. All the cell phones, Twitter and Facebook were absolutely, the net was shut down. So you better start building communities. You better go out and get a handy cam. You better go get a ham radio. You better learn about snail mail. You better know where the local print shop is, because they can shut down the online piece really easy.
Well, it's very true, you know, and because of the fact that we've got all this internet and all this kind of stuff, you know, we wouldn't be able to do the show, run the website, or basically do anything without the internet. And so, you know, conveniently, though, Barack H.O. Barry now has a kill switch for it all, with no judicial oversight, mind you. You know, so that doesn't that just fill you with warm fuzzies? That one day you could just walk up. And this is the reason why I'm with Orcon in New Zealand here, is because I believe it was last year or maybe even the year before, two big truther websites were ordered to be blocked. And Orcon and Slingshot, the two internet companies here in New Zealand out of the dozen or so, were the only two internet providers to refuse to block them. And to their credit, because everybody else who did say, oh, yeah, big government censorship, this is a good idea, they got thousands and thousands of complaints within freaking minutes.
Oh, and by the way, Vinny, I am also with Oricon, and I love them. And no, they're not a sponsor of the show, but I'll tell you, if you live in New Zealand, go with Oricon. But I'll tell you a little dirty little secret about New Zealand, and I can't get fired for saying this because I don't have a day job. If you live on the North Shore in Auckland of New Zealand, you're in an Oricon zone, right? So everything is Oricon. But if you live in the super city on the west side like I do, even though I'm an Oricon customer, all the lines are actually owned by Telecom. And you know what? They just love to mess with Oricon customers. And the only way for me to fight back, gentlemen, is with my wallet. So I love Oricon. They do an awesome job, and they actually care about their customers. And every time I've had a delay, it's never been because of Oricon. It's been because of Telecom. They own the lines in New Zealand.
Yeah, and that's why my line went down halfway through the interview with Jason Burmes 2 days ago. So F you, Telecom, sons of bitches.
Oh, no,
I mean,
no.
I go with Oricon also to mess with them. So yeah, no, Telecom in this country, a bunch of scum. Of course, why wouldn't they be? They're half government run, you know.
Well, now you know, Will, why it's very important that we said we have to sell off the energy companies, so when all the energy gets turned off, they can't sue the New Zealand Parliament.
Yeah, and you're not actually correct there, Will. They're not actually half government owned. They're in fact 75% foreign owned and 25% New Zealand investor owned, or at least that was what it was like about 4 or 5 years ago. Originally,
some government interference.
No. I mean, government interference is what's been happening of late when they've been having to introduce legislation in order to make telecom unbundle. Essentially, the whole company was just one big shell, and it was all done in-house, and they've had to split them all up into these things like provisioning, which allows other people to get competition. But what the irony of what's happening, that's supposed to allow more competition, but what they're really doing is they're using the fact that they're now divided to resist every form of competition in three different ways instead of just the one big pyramid that they had in the first place.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, though, being experienced in the telco sector.
Yeah, and my experience is this, that telecom is controlled by Wall Street. And think about Facebook. Facebook just raised $1.5 billion. But if you're a U.S. investor, you're not invited to the party. What does that tell you about the U.S. dollar?
Oh, man. Well, you know, the U.S. dollar, and we've got a lot of bad news coming out about – in fact, for the last couple of years, we've had nothing but bad news consistently coming out. What's the inflation rate up there now, like 4,000%? You know, U.S. dollar is going down, and it's going to go down hard, and there's seriously going to be a lot of trouble going down. I mean, even the EU, for example, now is hiring special police divisions to control food rioters in the European Union. Think about that.
Wow.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the SHIT is about to hit the proverbial FAN.
Yoda.
But conveniently, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Just because you're all going to die doesn't mean you can't have some fun while doing it. Oh, the doom and gloom. Thanks, Mitch, for coming on again, man.
No worries, man. Anytime.
All right, there he goes, our somewhat fabulous producer to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, Mitch Santel, ladies and gentlemen. You can email him if you've got some suggestions for the show at producer@thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And we'll be back next segment to continue the second hour of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Hour number two of the fabulous Vinnie Eastwood Show. Broadcasting live from the marvelous, sunny, slave state capital of New Zealand and our fabulous fluoride head fortress, New Zealand. We have a very special guest for you, ladies and gentlemen, joining us as part of our Kiwi Collaborator segment today. And hopefully we usually bring out about, I don't know, about maybe five Kiwi Collaborators a week. I'm trying to average. And, quite frankly, we have got some incredibly bright people in this country who are fighting to restore justice in so many ways across, ridiculous amounts of sectors, really. And the person that we've got on today for you is extremely awesome. Her name is Maria Bradshaw, and she knows an awful lot about suicide. Maria, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Hey, thank you.
Give us a little bit of background about yourself, love. You lost one of your child, didn't you, to suicide?
Yeah, Torrin's my only child, and at the age of 17, he committed suicide in 2008.
Mm-mm-mm. And of course, it's a symptom of a wider problem. After all, New Zealand has the highest suicide rate for youth in the world. How has that all come about?
Well, when we say New Zealand has the highest suicide rate for youth, I mean, it's really important to say that it's twice the rate of America, twice the rate of Australia, and five times the rate of the UK. So it's absolutely astronomical here. And one of the reasons for that is that we also have the one of the highest rates of prescribing of antidepressants, antipsychotics, and other psychotropic drugs to children.
Whoa! You mean we're doping up our kids on huge amounts of dangerous pharmaceutical drugs that say on the warning labels may cause suicide in order to save them from being a little bit depressed?
Yeah, totally. And while in the United States they have a warning label that says may cause suicide, mania, psychosis, worsening depression and all the rest of it, in New Zealand they have no warnings on them at all, not even a little leaflet in the packet warning you of risks and side effects.
And do they have lists of benefits, you know, like may cause drowsiness and dizziness?
New Zealand is certainly very big on hyping the benefits of these drugs, which is a complete lie. Clinical trials show that they have little or no effectiveness above placebo.
Well, it's an oxymoron to say the benefits of psychotropic drugs, isn't it?
Totally. They don't have any benefits, as has been proven. But they expose people. I mean, the drug my son was on has 1,817 listed side effects by the manufacturer. Mm. You know, really nasty stuff. Not only your suicide and psychosis and stuff, but cardiac arrest, infertility.
You name it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was in a psychiatric institution for a short period of time. I texted him about 4 text messages full of nothing but symptoms, and he said, bro, I have them all. Yeah. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back momentarily with our very special guest, Maria Bradshaw.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, Rush 89 FM in Hamilton, proudly brought to you in conjunction with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. And it's interesting, our somewhat fabulous producer always says that the interesting thing about this show, well, in fact, he goes, you know what's really interesting is that, we're New Zealanders who know more about the US Constitution and Bill of Rights than the average American person our age does. Yeah. How very strange is that? Our very special guest, our Kiwi collaborator for today, her name is Maria Bradshaw, and she'd been researching into the exponential, what do we call it, like a, some sort of suicidal pharmaceutical pandemic that we've got here with youth suicide rates. Maria, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, could you please continue on? Because one thing that I really wanted to know is, we talked about this and we debated this about the reasons why the suicide rates are so high in this country. And one of them is pharmaceutical drugs. And another point that we brought up earlier in the show was the breakdown of the family unit itself.
Yeah, the group that I run, our basic premise is that suicide is not a medical issue. You know, going around like we do in New Zealand, doing psychiatric screens on all four-year-olds and giving them a label and giving them a drug is not the way to go. Suicide is a social issue. It's a response to social problems. And we know in New Zealand that we have high rates of family breakdown. We have the highest rate in the OECD of teen pregnancy. We have a real issue with our children binge drinking. There are all sorts of social things that are going on. Recently reported that we have one of the highest rates of income disparity in the world, which is a known trigger for suicide. So, you know, multifactorial, lots of things going on, none of which are going to be cured by giving children bottles of pills.
Yeah, well, and this is an interesting debate that I had with a communist the other day. I said to him, no pharmaceutical drug has ever cured any condition. And he says, yes, they have. And I say, all right, name one.
Yeah.
The blank stare was all the evidence that I needed.
Yeah, you are totally, totally right. And what's interesting too is that in my son's inquest, 7 psychiatrists testified on the other side, you know, to support the district health board, but all 7 agreed that these drugs double the risk of suicide in people under the age of 24. But they don't tell you that when you're in the doctor's surgery getting a prescription for them.
A friend of mine was in a psychiatric institution, as I said, and I came into one of the meetings with them, and they had this incredibly tall, lanky, effeminate psychologist who kind of like looked down on everybody and that kind of thing. You know, just kind of like they know it all. It's you know what it felt like to me, Mary. It felt like some type of satanic worship. That's what it really felt like to me, man. I don't want to, you know, get all religious or anything on here, but the guy just felt to me like a real sociopath, you know, somebody who doesn't really care about human emotions, human events. They look at them as though they're guinea pigs and rats to be dissected and studied rather than human beings who need to be cared for and loved and protected.
Hey, totally. You know, in New Zealand, there are 10 suicides every week. Many are chemically induced. 10% of our 10-year-olds, their deaths are suicide. And our children in New Zealand, there are more suicides than deaths from all medical causes combined. And they're just seen as collateral damage. You know, my baby was a boy who had broken up with the first love of his life and wanted some counselling. But the New Zealand government says it's cheaper to give kids pills than to talk to them and help them develop some skills to work through that stuff. Torrin was diagnosed as having no mental disorder, no depression, no nothing. Given Prozac, told he could drink alcohol with it, and 15 days later, my normal healthy child, who was going through a normal life event of breaking up with a girlfriend, made the garden hose into a noose and hung himself in our garage. And at his inquest, there was a lot of shrugging of shoulders. Oh, well, this stuff happens, you know, nothing we can do about it. When the question was asked, would you do anything differently next time? The answer was no, don't think so. There's a total casual attitude about suicide in New Zealand. Anything else killing 10 people a week in this country, we'd be declaring a state of national emergency and, you know, doing the swine flu thing. But nobody seems to care.
Well, and I find that in our day-to-day society, we've kind of got this sort of level of, I don't know, what I would call manufactured apathy. People have this idea in their heads that they are not powerful, they don't have enough intellect to process situations, and or they don't have enough time to really focus or solve any problems. And so, therefore, the obvious relationship emerges that, hey, anytime there's a problem, the best thing to do is either ignore it or manage it, not solve it, you know? And people forget that if you are capable of understanding what sort of psychological condition you're in, and I'm not saying I believe in psychology, I believe that the term bedlam comes from a psychological house in England where they locked up mental patients into stone-cold rooms and charged admission so people could see all these so-called crazy people and that kind of thing. The only reason why they were crazy so much is because they were locked up and experimented on like guinea pigs.
I mean, you should read the history of psychiatry. I mean, it was a recognised treatment to put people into a coffin and lower them into freezing cold water. It's been a recognised treatment to put an ice pick through somebody's eye into their brain. You know, we used to have lobotomies, and now these drugs are referred to as chemical lobotomies. The history of psychiatry is a history of complete and total failure. And when you talked before about, you know, the kind of religious overtones. I mean, I'm not a religious person at all. But if I had to define evil, I would say that rather than stabbing somebody to death, inducing them to stab themselves or put a rope around their neck or jump in front of a train is my definition of evil, particularly when you're talking about inducing a child to do that.
Mm-mm-mm. And, you know, people think that, oh, it's just accidental or they're just doing their job or that kind of thing. And in my opinion, that's just mindless, heartless justifications for evil, you know, which is almost as bad as doing it intentionally, as allowing it to happen via your own arrogance, stupidity and apathy.
Oh, totally. And you can keep your hands clean, can't you? But the reality is somebody gives you poison, you take it and you die. That person killed you.
Yeah.
They might not have blood dripping off the end of their fingers, but they still killed you.
Yeah. It's called a causal link, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I mean, come on here.
And all these toxins that we find laced throughout society, whether it's aspartame or fluoride or MSG, I mean, you find a lot of these binders, particularly fluoride, used in all these psychotropics they try and lay on children. I mean, just what they're riddled with alone and the flow-on effects from some of the binders and the chemicals they use to put the body into a state of shock in order to get reactions sometimes. And then they just say they died of anabolic shock or, you know, they make up some excuse.
Yeah,
I mean, it's reckless.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, and the coroner found in my son's inquest that the information Torrin and I were given about these drugs, the words he used were outdated, misleading and inaccurate. We were told, for example, in the pamphlet that if we read anything about the links between suicide and the drugs, we should understand that that was an invention of the media. Well, actually, that is proven through numerous clinical trials. So we were lied to and misled. And, you know, you can't imagine how betrayed we feel by the government doing that to us.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd say the biggest killer of the 20th century is people's own governments.
Yeah. And you're totally right about the apathy. I mean, you know, if I had a dollar for every time I've been told, you can't fight the government, you can't fight the pharmaceutical companies. Well, you know what? I sold my home and I live in a garage now. You know, I used to earn a six-figure salary. I was a chief executive. I can and will fight these people until the day I die, because what they're doing is wrong and it needs to be exposed. And it just takes, you know, I'm building an army of angry mothers whose children have been murdered. And we won't lie down.
Yeah, yeah. If there's one thing I know as a young man who's recently left the roost, you don't want to mess with an angry mother.
That's totally true. Ask Waitemata District Health Board. You know, I was denied access to information about my son's medical care. And so, you know, here I am, a nice middle class, you know, well-educated woman. I staged a sit-in at North Shore Hospital and I was arrested and trespassed and, you know, my son would have been just pissing himself laughing at his mother being dragged away by the police. But I got the medical records the next day. I mean, in the end, you just do what you have to do and it can be done.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. And, I mean, I've been arrested half a dozen times and I've had people sort of pick at me and laugh at me and, huh, you're going to get arrested again as if it's skin off my teeth or something. It's like, ah, you're going to get screwed over again, you little fool. I mean, and it just happens over and over and over. I mean, people need to put their foot down once in a while and just say no. And it doesn't matter what social class we're from here. This isn't a popularity contest.
Yeah.
Yep. It's about, I mean, look at all these school shootings we've seen in the States. Look at these young guys we've seen out going, you know, and blow people's heads off. This last guy being Jared Loughner. Once again, heavy user of psychotropic drugs. We saw it with the Columbine school shootings. We saw it with the UT shooting. I mean, this is a common factor that's going on here, and it's not being discussed, and people are calling it wild theories. And the same people that say you can't defeat the government or the corporations would call us conspiracy theorists for saying how powerful and how much control they have over our lives. But then they say we can't do anything about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and we totally can. Like, I don't think that many people would have seen recently the WikiLeaks cable that showed that the pharmaceutical companies tried to have Helen Clark removed as health minister and tried to threaten us that we wouldn't get a free trade agreement if we stopped allowing clinical trials and put any barriers to using these drugs in this country. You know, that's fact. It's in the WikiLeaks cables. It's not a conspiracy theory. But I don't believe that this will change in the Beehive or at the Ministry of Health. It'll be people on the street like me and like people who suddenly realise that the before school checks we're doing on all four-year-olds in New Zealand have a psychiatric screening component in them, where parents are being asked to diagnose their children with psychiatric illnesses as a way of getting them on psychotropic drugs. When we say enough, we don't want this, we're sick of our 9- and 10-year-olds committing suicide, we can change the world. You know, it's the people, and this is an election year. And if people feel, you know, powerless and don't know what to do, then, you know, I can give you a million things that you can do every day that can change this situation. You're not powerless at all.
Yeah, and most of them don't even include voting. I mean, people need to see that there's we've got the system of compromise, pretty much, where everyone's just narrowed in focus, and the doctors get free holidays to Fiji if they sell enough, if they push enough of Merck's product. You know, this is public.
Yep.
And everyone just compromises and goes along with it and keeps out of each other's business. But at the same time, they're intrinsically involved in our business and getting more and more involved in our lives. And the government says, look, we just care about your kids and we want to analyze them. And it's all about, it's just like in the States, everyone's got a shrink. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about saying everyone's got some condition, everyone's crazy on some level. Hey, they probably diagnosed me with about 10 different syndromes. And then say, look, we've got to force these drugs on you your whole life. You can never get off them because otherwise you'll come down so hard you kill yourself.
Yeah, totally. And look, you know, you are absolutely right that according to the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Psychiatry, there's not a person in the world who wouldn't have a mental disorder. You know, grief. I was sectioned and put into a psych hospital after my son died, primarily for saying that the mental health system had killed him. And they said at the time that I didn't have a mental disorder, I was suffering from normal bereavement. But the system's just been changed. And if you are sad for more than 2 weeks after you find your child hanging from a noose, you have major depressive disorder. I mean, it would be disordered not to be sad when your only child commits suicide. It's just crazy stuff.
Well, it's everything that's reasonable and everything that's natural becomes something that's wrong to the eyes of a psychiatrist, you know. For example, a friend of mine, he was put on two extremely heavy psychotropic drugs, and the reason that he was put on those is because he, quote, had an elevated mood. He was smiling and he was happy.
I know. Look, if you want a good laugh someday, read the DSM. You know, mathematical learning disorder. If you're not good at maths, that's a psychiatric disorder. Sibling relational disorder, if you don't get on well with your brothers and sisters. The list is endless. And we know that these disorders, there's no science behind them. They're voted in and out. You know, homosexuality was a mental disorder until politically it became unsustainable and so they voted it out. Can you imagine real doctors voting in and out heart disease or diabetes? This is an absolute made-up construct which, you know, is done in conjunction with pharmaceutical companies who develop a drug for all these new disorders. It's completely corrupt.
And people can't see it. People think the government's out there to help them. And you know, the corporate influence is minimal or, you know, occurs once in a blue moon. And that's why I say we need a republic. That's why that's my solution, is we have a constitutional republic where these foreign multinational corps can't get involved in our policy formation, and where our politicians have their feet held to the fire by binding laws that would have them just about hung themselves if they don't, you know, if they don't enact the will of the people.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You know, one of the things we're doing at the moment is we've just written a letter to every politician in New Zealand saying there are 10 suicides a week. You know, as I said before, more children die from suicide in this country than all medical causes combined. your votes this year from a large sector of the population, because, you know, we're the biggest victim group in the country, those of us bereaved by suicide. Your votes this year, guys, will depend on your response to suicide, what you're actually prepared to do about stopping chemically induced suicide in this country. And we will be publishing on our website the responses that we get to those.
All right. And our very special guest is Maria Bradshaw, talking about suicide rates in New Zealand and the fabulous pharmaceutical philanthropy. And we will be right back momentarily with more disturbing news.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's broadcasting everywhere, man. Symphony Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest on our Kiwi Collaborator segment today is Maria Bradshaw. And we've been talking over the break that her son, being a very nice, strapping young lad and kind of a poster boy for youth suicide in this country, has actually even received a fair amount of mainstream reporting. And we talked about, oh, well, did they spin it at all? But, you know, basically they have to do what's ironically called in the journalism industry balanced reporting by giving the the psychologist a chance to defend their undefensible statements. Hey, but I was wondering, though, have you seen the movie Love and Other Drugs, where the main interest guy works for Pfizer, and they make the job look cool, and they say in the film how they're making drugs available to diseases they make up?
I haven't seen it, but that actually sounds like my life. Hey, you might be interested. You know how there's been the big John Kirwan campaign in New Zealand, which has really been about social marketing of depression, get everybody to diagnose themselves and go and ask for drugs.
Yeah.
When you go on the government's website, depression.org, you can do a self-test for depression that you take along to your doctor. Have a look at the bottom of the test where it says copyrighted to Pfizer Incorporated.
That's not a vested interest at all.
And when I asked the Ministry of Health why they were using a drug company developed test, they said, oh, because it's free, other people would charge us.
Well, they just collect billions of tax revenue. They can't afford a simple program.
Precisely, yeah.
Oh, for F's sake. I remember I was actually asking a psychiatrist now about the drugs that he had my mate on, and he told me the names of them. And I go, really? Okay, so have they been double-blind tested? And he goes, oh, well, you'll have to do that research yourself. And I go, I'll take that as a no.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the difficulties that they've run into with me is that I graduated with my MBA 5 weeks after my son died. And you're actually taught in medical school in New Zealand that if a parent blames the mental health system for the death of their child, that is not logical or rational. It's a grief reaction. And I made this rule for myself that I wouldn't say anything publicly that I couldn't back up with at least 2 independent sources of information. And, you know, I'm a smart woman with a good education, and they find it really difficult to argue with me because the data that I have, they can't argue with, you know, which has really pissed them off enormously.
What sort of evidence is our textbook says that when a mother blames the system for, you know, such a loss, that she's automatically wrong? And it's true because we say so, because some freak wrote it. I mean,
yeah, because you understand, don't you, that when my son died, my brain did as well.
Of course, yeah. Of course, totally. All your neural connections just fizzed out. And it's just like a big short circuit.
What happened to my synapse?
I just hate these people. I just hate how people can be institutionalized like that. They call themselves smart. I mean, you have to get, when I was at school, it was like getting 400 out of 500 in seventh form to get a bursary to enter med school. I got enough to get into engineering, which was like 300 or something. And so I wasn't smart enough in med school. And my med school mates are leaked, you know. And it's like, no, you stupid sons of, you know, you guys are just taking this stuff.
Hey, well, you know something really funny? At my son's inquest, the coroner asked the doctor who gave him the drugs, so if he didn't have a diagnosis of depression, you know, why were you medicating him? And this guy said, well, in the notes, his mother said he was bright, beautiful, and popular, and so I thought he had narcissistic personality traits. Well, for a start off, it's not a mental disorder to have a mother who's proud of you. But interestingly, the world of psychiatry has just recently said there's no such thing as narcissistic personality disorder. It's been voted out.
That would probably be because every single psychologist would be diagnosed with it.
You know, after that guy said that in the inquest, I said to my friend who was there, being called a narcissist by a psychiatrist is like being called aggressive by a serial killer. Hello.
You know, and some people would say, oh, that's too harsh to say that. No, it isn't.
But they're beyond scrutiny. They're outside the table.
Anybody who's met a psychiatrist would, I mean, they do have this real God complex.
Well, you know, I think we should rename the DSM as just the BSM.
In my circles, we call it the Damn Silly Manual or the Drug Supplier's Manual.
The Drug Supplier's Manual. Hey, well, it's kind of like this massive fat as gravy train that they got going, you know. Line your children up, ladies and gentlemen. It's like a circus, really. And the children are basically just these kind of animals in cages to these people that are to perform tricks and that kind of thing so that they can, you know, fill and jam-pack the big top with all the pundits and fans and screaming and jog down their popcorn. They don't care.
Oh, look, honestly, you should read the questions in the psychiatric screen for the four-year-olds. You know, does your child look out the window when you're reading them a story? Well, you know, that's an indicator of a psychiatric disorder. Does your child interrupt adult conversations? There's another indicator. And, you know, we should be really concerned that we are screening every four-year-old in this country with a view to labelling them with a mental disorder.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing in everywhere in the Western world, I'd probably say venture a guess with ADHD, for example, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. My mother was, in fact, given a pamphlet, right, with all these different symptoms, for example, being creative, being highly intelligent, doing artwork, not listening on occasion, being a little bit restless, running around, playing games. These were all indicators of somebody being ADHD.
I know. And, you know, so every normal human behavior is being characterized as a mental disorder. And not only that is, you know, the bullshit about valuing diversity, absolute rubbish. Unless your moods and behaviours comply with an increasingly narrow range of what's seen as normal, you're disordered.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. our producer as well, his son was going to be prescribed Ritalin medication, and it was kind of like forced by a school board sort of thing. And to this day, he thanks him for making sure that the school board couldn't put it on him.
Yeah, look, Ritalin is cocaine. The drug that my son was given, Prozac, has, according to the FDA, the same stimulant profile as amphetamines.
Sorry, what?
I'm not trying to make it sound attractive, okay? That's what I'm doing. Yeah, but the reality is, if you've got children who are struggling with, you know, difficult life circumstances, mum and dad splitting up, break up with a girlfriend, problems at school or whatever, giving them cocaine or amphetamines, I mean, you know, how is that going to help them? And in fact, of course, what the clinical data shows is what it does is induces them to kill themselves. I have an autopsy report on my computer from a 7-year-old on the same drug as my son who put a rope around his neck and hung himself.
Mm. I mean, according to psychiatry, the best kind of parental figure is like Tony Montana.
I mean, the way I see it, Maria, and I don't know what your geopolitical views are, but the listeners know mine, and it's all part of a systematic kill-off of society, and because they can't just come into our homes and hold guns to our head just yet, they have to do it systemically, and they have to make it so that it can be blamed on just a myriad of problems, and very, very, very few people can actually boil it down and actually have the capacity to work it all out. And this is where I see the psychology, this drive coming from, to marginalize human nature and to train in their form of social Darwinism, to train us to be obedient worker drone slaves and to orderly execute ourselves effectively. Like they're training our kids to commit suicide with TV and video games that, regardless of that whole argument, people cannot deny all imagery, all of what we see imprints in our subconscious.
Well, even today, school children's books, I think it was in the United States, an article came out that children as young as 5 are now learning about suicide in school.
Yeah. And look, one of the issues I had with my son's school and with the Ministry of Education is that for level 1 NCEA English, he studied the Shawshank Redemption. And so he repeatedly saw images of the guy, you know, the character Brock, hanging himself. And when I asked, so what discussion was around that in terms of what alternatives did Brock have? What impact would this have on his family? You know, is this a good response to stressful life events? I was told that the children are allowed to watch these movies, but suicide prevention must not be discussed in schools. And so Torrens exposed to these images with no discussion of alternatives or impacts. That is so wrong.
But they can discuss sex and everything like that. You know, I mean, they can discuss snitching on your parents.
Oh, totally.
If they raise a hand at you or something.
Yeah, you know, and I've extensively reviewed the literature on copycat suicides. And, you know, what the literature actually says is that talking about suicide is protective. And we know, you know, we heard all that if we give kids sex education, they'll all rush out and get pregnant, which, you know, was crap. If we talk to kids about suicide, they will not all rush out and kill themselves. They know about suicide, but they have a lot of misinformation, and no social problem's ever been solved through silence.
But and larger than that, they're not taught to value life, though, are they? I mean, our society being trained to appreciate just how amazing life is in general.
Yeah.
I mean, does that sentiment come through at all, really?
I don't think so at all. You know, there's just this huge blanket of silence, except for the psychiatrists and selected researchers who are allowed to talk about this stuff, and they control all the thinking around it.
So we've got this priesthood, haven't we? We've got this priesthood of intellectuals who write this legislation, then they frame the debates and they make the people.
Homus, yeah. Homini, hominitatis. I was surprised they're not wearing big red hooded cloaks, you know, when they walk in with their white lab coats on.
They leave that for Bohemian Grove every second weekend in July.
Oh yeah, that's a weekend attire, you know.
But listen, what you were talking about before in terms of control, I mean, when I was first exposed to the idea that psychiatry spawned eugenics and was behind a lot of what happened in Nazi Germany, I thought, oh, my God, that sounds like such a ridiculous conspiracy theory. But it's absolutely true. And certainly the psychiatry is targeted in New Zealand to young Māori and Pacific people who are dying from suicide in the most, you know, appalling numbers. There's no doubt in my mind that this is part of a wider eugenics program.
And you know that the Huxleys and the Darwins and the Wells were behind the British move for eugenics, and that the British actually inspired the Nazis.
Yeah,
it's just an offshoot of them.
Yeah, and you wouldn't believe how often I'm told that the death of my son is just Darwinism at work, that when children commit suicide, it's just nature weeding out the weak.
Yeah, it was very strange. I mean, I was walking along the road one time with a friend of mine in Dunedin, and we saw these two kids playing with a shopping trolley in the middle of the road. And I said, "Hey, man, we should go over there and tell them to get out of the middle of the road." And he goes, "Oh, all right, natural selection."
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah, natural selection would have these psychiatrists that things hanging and I mean yeah, they're weak, vessel. I don't know how to describe them. I know there's a. We did a show once on psychiatrists in general, Vinny, and I received a bit of flack over it. I'll stand by it. I mean, they are just real limp wristed. I mean, not limp wristed in the connotation of sexual orientation, but limp wristed souls, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Like they're not willing to back up what's right or anything like that, but they are willing to write it a prescription.
Hey, and look, this is not science. It is not medicine. Psychiatry has no biological test. You know, what we get told all the time is that people are given antidepressants to cure a brain chemistry imbalance. That is complete nonsense.
Yeah, well, it makes sense that it's all nonsense when it doesn't work when they say that it does. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special Kiwi collaborator today till the end of the hour is Maria Bradshaw talking about suicide. And we'll be right back momentarily.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business, it's business time.
That's what you mean,
what
you mean.
It's
business time. Oh.
It's business, it's business time.
Yeah. Psychiatric foreplay on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Yeah. You say something to me like, you've got me tied down in bed, I can't move, but I know what you mean. You mean it's, oh yeah, it's business time. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Our very special guest, Maria Bradshaw, joins us. And we've been talking about post-traumatic stress syndrome. And, you know, basically, let's cut the BS here. Psychiatry is one of the biggest death manufacturing industries in the world, second only to the arms industry. Whose stated intention is death. You know, and the disparity, and we were talking about children and how it's not the adults that have supported you in what you're doing here, campaigning to get the truth out about these kind of things. It's in fact the children. And my assumption was that the children just haven't been brainwashed long enough.
Yeah, after Torren died, you know, there was all this scrambling for people to defend themselves. And, you know, they said stuff like, oh, well, he must have had undiagnosed depression. And adults bought that because they wanted to believe that doctors were not killing our children. Whereas Torren's friends, the teenagers, they just said absolute bullshit. Torren was a normal, healthy kid, just like us. And if they can do this to him, they could do it to us. And we're going to work with Maria to stop it. So I've had enormous support from teenagers who seem to be able to see really clearly what's happening here and the lies that are being told, while adults are desperately scrambling to maintain their belief that the system is trustworthy.
Well, because after all, they've had a long time to create this false reality, and they've got a lot riding on it, you know? I mean, imagine if you woke up tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, and you realized that, like, for example, you weren't human, like you were a cyborg or something like that. You know, you'd go through some description of transitional period and denial and this, that, and the other. And I suppose currently, with all our psychological conditioning, we are really in this kind of full spectrum denial world. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you've ever been zorbing, that's when you've got this enormous inflatable ball. And you're just running it down an enormous hill. This is one of the great tourist attractions that you have here in New Zealand. As far as I'm concerned, it's a metaphor for the reality that we've got here. We're cushioned by something that's full of nothing but hot air that allows us to run around without getting hurt. And as soon as we fall out of it, we break an arm or something and we wish we never had.
Yeah, and I said to you before, you know, on the 20th of March 2008 when my son died, after having raised my son, you know, the policeman is your friend. Tell the doctor about things. Doctors are there to help you. You know, your school's there to support you and all the rest. I was forcibly ejected from the matrix. Everything in the world that I had believed in was turned upside down and back to front. And the other people around me, my family, my friends, they didn't want to be thrown out of the matrix like that. And so they really, you know, scrambled to justify what had been done to Torin and to fit it within, you know, all their values and beliefs that they'd grown up with.
It's horrible. It's Stockholm syndrome. They're addicted to tyranny. They're addicted to big government. They're addicted to the cushioning, cozy feel it gives them at night. And then you know, when something happens, when we see a life and death scenario, and all the walls come down because we see the system for what it is. This evil parasitic thing that it is, then we can realize it. But other people aren't in that headspace, and they won't put themselves there, and that is their own weakness. Because, I mean, it should be part of our being as humans that we can think outside the box, that we're not just subservient animals.
Yeah, and of course, you know, part of that was shutting me up by labeling me as mentally disordered for challenging, you know, those things that I'd believed. By sectioning me, dragging me out of my bed, and putting me into a psychiatric hospital, despite the fact that they couldn't find any mental disorder.
Well, rail on these people. I mean, rail on them. Here's your opportunity. I mean, I say rail on them. If you don't want to, I will. Because, you know, I know that doesn't really solve anything, but, I mean, these people need to be made, they need to be shook up. You've got to grab them and tell them, you know, we're free beings, you little bastards, you can't do this to us.
Oh, you know, one of the psychiatrists said to me, you know, desperately looking for a mental disorder, he said, I understand that on your son's 18th birthday, you were overheard by your neighbours talking to him, because it was 7 weeks after he died and the kids had gone out and gone to the observatory and had a star named after Torin for his 18th birthday. And I looked up at the sky and I found the brightest star and I said, happy birthday, baby, mummy misses you. And the psychiatrist told me that was a mental disorder.
You were overheard by what, citizen spies or something?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
And called the mental health system.
Are you kidding me?
No, and I was dragged out of my bed at midnight by 5 police officers, handcuffed and taken into the hospital. When I got there, they took me straight up for x-rays because they thought my wrist was broken and they photographed extensive bruising on me. You know, I was a grieving mum. I'd lost my only child 7 weeks beforehand.
That's a bad movie.
That's how I was treated.
These idiot police and these scum freaking psychiatrists.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much, Maria, for coming on the show and sharing your story with us. It's been probably one of the best Kiwi collaborator interviews that we've ever had. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
You are so welcome, and thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Hey, we'll probably give it to you again sometime, love.
Yeah,
don't worry.
We'll work with you in the future, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. Next time we interview Maria, it'll be live from psychiatric lockdown.
Hey, and listen, if people want to know more about this, check out our website, www.casper.org.nz.
Casper.org.nz. We'll be back later on, ladies and gentlemen. Catch you later. Thanks for listening. We love you.